Blog Talk Radio.
Hold it now!
Tuesday of the month, each month, my co-host, Miss Ann Dillon, coming to you with healthy relationships. And on the third Tuesday of every month, my other co-host, T. David Farley, a political consultant. Now, tonight, like I said, we have Miss Dillon that's going to discuss an issue that sometimes is not normally discussed, how to navigate through family conflict through the holidays, which is very interesting to me because I had to navigate myself and bring a lot of experience. Yeah, I bring a lot of experience how to navigate through family conflict through the holidays, and that is so prevalent in our community, especially with two siblings or two family members are beefing. Ms. Dillon, are you there? Hello? Ms. Ann, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes,
can
I
you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right, I'm here.
Can you hear me? Ms. Ann? Hello? Ms. Ann? Hello, Ms.
Yes,
Ann?
Now you are. I am here.
You have a guest coming on?
I do. Yes.
Okay, well, that must be her on 706. Okay. All right.
Yes,
all right.
She's on.
What's her name? Well, introduce her.
Okay, everybody, welcome. I'm glad to be back with you on this another second Tuesday night where we're talking about healthy relationships. And tonight I have a special guest colleague with me, and her name is Miss Anisha Cooper, and she's a licensed professional counselor. And welcome, Anisha.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. I'm
Absolutely.
Excited to talk about this topic.
Yes, I'm
Well, ladies, before y'all get into your discussion, I have one question. Why is this so important that during these holidays, there's always family conflicts?
Wow. That's a loaded question.
well, I'm always asking loaded questions. I'm sorry. I just want to know why is that an issue today? You know, or has that always been an issue in our community?
Right. Well, I think we're going to address that as we get in this conversation because, you know, we're going to get to that. So my guest, she is loaded and ready to go. She is a spitfire really admire her work. So, Anisha, would you please introduce yourself and tell the people who you are and how you serve in this world?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you again. I am Anisha Cooper, a licensed professional counselor and a certified clinical trauma professional. I specialize with trauma in minority communities. And I am the owner and healing healer at Wishing Well Atlanta, which is right in Marietta, Georgia.
Oh, my goodness. That's so awesome. That's so awesome. And I'm so glad to have you, that you said yes to this conversation. So, Anisha, why is it, Brother Kenny asked, why is it that family holiday times brings up so much conflict in the family? Oh, my goodness. And that's why I said it's a loaded question.
Absolutely. There's just so many dynamics to consider. I think family holidays, well, I should say, I think holidays come with that obligation to spend time with family, at least that perceived obligation to spend time with family. And I think that people forget that just like anyone else, family members have their own concerns and issues. And so you got all these different people, dynamics, these different personalities in one space during a time where there's this perceived obligation to be together, to enjoy each other's company. And I think oftentimes it leads to, you know, silencing how you really feel or and until you're blowing up. But I think the obligation really speaks to that pressure to, okay, well, it's Christmas or it's, you know, Thanksgiving. I have to see my family.
Yeah. And you have to show up and perform or act a certain way, right?
Yes. I think that performative piece is really a part of that dynamic, and especially in the Black families, because you're dealing oftentimes with adult children who are still in some ways infantilized. There's a certain idea about how they should act and respond to their parents or old elders in their community. They're struggling typically with, you know, identity and adulthood, responsibility.
Right.
You know, so what does it look like to go back home where you start to be treated like a child? And vice versa. Oftentimes the parents talk about, you know, feeling disrespected or they didn't raise the person to be a certain way. All those dynamics come into play.
Yeah, I think you are right on, because especially in the Black family, there is such a obligation in that relationship, in those relationship dynamics. And just to be transparent, I'm having some conflict right now with a couple of my adult children. And I think, you know, I was saying to my husband, I'm like, you know what? I don't know that I want to commute anywhere for Christmas this year. Why don't we just go somewhere and just, you know, just be by ourselves? It don't mean that I'm not going to send Christmas gifts and things like that. But, sometimes it gets exhausting. And sometimes we do it just to to look good.
Right,
and keeping up appearances, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you hit the nail on the head. That pressure.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I think that's really, really what it's gonna be about. And I hope we both get a chance to talk about some ways to circumvent that.
Right, and you know, the other piece about it. A lot of times we, in our community, we don't have those hard conversations. So things happen, offenses happen, and we just pile them on top of one another, right, and keep going on. And, all that stuff that you're not supposed to talk about, the family secrets and things like that. And then you get to the Thanksgiving dinner or the Christmas party, and it's like somebody going to blow the lid right off because they can't hold that in anymore, or they choose not to pretend or go along with the flow anymore.
Right. There comes a level of tolerance that's just been exceeded, you know.
Yes. And it doesn't make for a good showing, or it doesn't make for a good appearance. And there ensues the family conflict on the holidays.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you.
Mhm. And so that when Brother Kenny was asking why is it that there's so much conflict on the holidays, that's what I think about. All the built up, pent up, shoved under the rug, unaddressed tension and offenses, and it's like somebody decide no, or you're a trauma specialist. What about when somebody gets triggered and a memory is triggered during the holidays?
Oh my goodness. Honestly, I see a lot of clients right before and right after the holiday. I have this little influx of people because when someone's triggered, they might respond in a way that doesn't honor their integrity and who they want to show up as. Whatever character that they've built with their family members, they're trying to keep that intact, and that trigger makes them step out of character, if you will. And I think there's a sense of shame that comes about it, and then there's this need to be understood. But for understanding to take place, you know, obviously the person wants to feel safe so they can even have that conversation. But the whole reason why they were triggered to begin with is because they didn't feel safe. So oftentimes there's this kind of cycling effect of, okay, I was triggered, I responded in this way, they don't understand why I responded in this way, I can't tell them why I responded in this way, this big family secret, or if I tell them, then this person might not be invited anymore, and that's going to change the dynamic of the family. And so there's so many kind of moving parts to that that again, you mentioned earlier, it motivates, hopefully, those conversations
yeah.
that aren't had.
That's so true. And I think the conversations aren't had in a lot of cases because, you know, lack of skills really around having those conversations.
Mhm. Yeah, absolutely. I don't know that emotional tolerance is something that's, you know, readily available for people at all in general, let alone in the Black community. I oftentimes notice that adolescents aren't being taught how to have those conversations. And so being uncomfortable is immediately followed by being defensive, being angry. And there
uh-huh.
has to be a level of tolerance to have these uncomfortable conversations, just like you were saying.
Uh-huh.
So it's difficult. Those skills are difficult to teach, too.
Yeah, yeah. And you weren't born learning those skills. And so
right.
if you grew up in a family where there's that avoidant parenting style where, you know, nothing got addressed, that's how you learn how to communicate. And so you don't necessarily address things. You shove it under the rug until you blow a fuse or something.
Yes. Right. And so, you know, we're just perpetuating the same cycles because someone who's intention is to break the cycle, they're going to cause some shifts in the dynamics as well. And so oftentimes it takes a lot of patience. I often remind my clients again and again, you know, what is yours and what isn't? What do you have control over? What do you have power over in this situation? Because we're not going to focus on trying to change mama them. You know, we can't do that.
Right.
We got to focus on what can you do? How can you show up in the room? So
right.
you can have peace of mind at minimum. And that's if you show up in the room, you know. That's another conversation
right.
in and of itself.
Right, right. And you touched something when you said we're not going to try to change mom and them, because the thing about it is a lot of times when we're faced with these conflicts and these challenges, we are dealing with generational patterns,
mm-hmm.
patterns that has been going on for humping of generations, and we're not going to just change it right away. The key is really what you said in realizing what's in your control and what's not in your control.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever is in your control, that's where you focus your attention.
Right, exactly. And that's, you know, really to encourage some autonomy there. Hopefully, I really just hope that more people can feel liberated by choice and knowing, like, you don't have to choose to engage in every fight that you're invited to. And, you know, really being able to discern between, is this worth my energy? Is this worth my time? Or is this something that is going to be even more triggering for me? How can I step away? I think permission to leave is something that kids don't, Black children don't grow up learning, and when they're, you know, in adulthood, they don't really know that, oh, I can get up. I can go in another room. I
yeah.
can go in outside. That's not something that they, you know, I've, at least in my experience, I've noticed clients,
right.
and even myself, you remember.
Yes. Yes. I think you said it right there. That's a mouthful right there. Because when I'm teaching my clients, and I have predominantly Black clients, teens and young adults, and when I'm teaching my clients about boundaries and appropriate boundaries as they work on establishing healthy relationships, they look at me like, are you crazy? Are you telling me that I can decide? My parents are not going to honor, or the elders in my family are not going to honor my boundaries. And I had to tell them, I said, well, they might choose not to honor it, but a lot of the work will be on you because you have the power to remove yourself.
Yes.
And that's all you need to focus on is what is in your control. And doing those what's in your control circle and what's not in your control circle, that's one of the most empowering tools that I can give my clients.
Right, exactly. Encouraging the agency is so important, and I think I often remind my clients too, just like you were saying, once you determine what is in and outside of your control, there you go. You created some type of boundary. And that boundary, if it's not honored, there has to be a consequence to that boundary. And a lot of people struggle even with that language, that consequence. They feel like they're dealing with children, but I have to really encourage people to think of everything having some follow-up. There's a consequence to any and everything that we're doing. And so if your boundary can be crossed and nothing changes, then that's not a boundary anymore.
Exactly.
I think that can be really scary too, to think, oh gosh, I have to change. Just like you said, I have to change something if and when my boundaries are tested.
That's it. And a lot of times we're waiting for the other person to, you know, honor our boundaries and do this and do that, and not with the expectation that, you know what, yes, this is hard work and you're going to have to do some stuff. You're going to have to, and even saying to yourself, if that person is doing the best that they can, what do I need to do? This is from Dr. Brené Brown's work. What do I need to do to be generous to them and also honor my own authenticity? And therein lies the work. You're going to have to do some work if it's nothing but removing yourself from the room, removing yourself from the conversation, and saying, you know, I don't appreciate when you talk to me like that. I feel, you know, however it is that you feel, and removing yourself to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I think, you know, weighing out those pros and cons, I always say, you know, to even
go ahead.
I really encourage clients to take a look, a good look at what they feel like they are risking by asserting their boundaries, and I think that also is something that comes up in those family holidays where you fear that you're going to lose whatever you've told yourself you're going to lose. And so it's important to acknowledge that so you understand what the cost of loving you and keeping your peace is going to look like.
I like that. Evaluating and assessing, what are you going to lose? What is it that you're going to lose? And it's, wow, that's powerful, because when you set those boundaries and you realize that, okay, this is a very toxic relationship, or this is not a healthy relationship, you have to really allow yourself to go through the grieving process of, what is it that I'm losing if I were to believe that, you know what, this is not a relationship that I want to be in, or this is not something I want to engage in, right? What is it that you're going to lose?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to grieve that also, right?
It really is. And sometimes people don't realize, and I know I'm guilty of this too. I hope that I can really be a collaborator with my clients. I try not to ever say this is something just unique to your experience. But I think it's important to acknowledge how much of that grieving process is of this ideal person you created or the actual person you were in relationship with. oftentimes clients tell me, you know, something like, well, if I do that, I'm not going to have a relationship with my mom. And I'll say something along the lines of, you know, what is the relationship you have with her now? Because the thing that they're grieving never existed. And so it's just really, it's a really interesting process to acknowledge, oh my gosh, I've never had the very thing that I'm missing. So, and I think that's a unique grieving process to have.
Wow. So if you've never had that which you're missing, let's say we're missing the closeness or the close dynamics of a relationship, or we're missing, our fathers. A lot of us, not everyone, but a lot of us struggle with the presence of our fathers or the conflict with our mothers. Now, if we're missing that and we never had it, could it be that we've formed a figment, a relational figment of our imagination?
Right, exactly. I think so. I think so. I noticed that that we create these ideal relationships, and that becomes our reference point. And
wow.
So, you know, and then I like to go even a step further and ask to kind of deconstruct, where did that ideal come from, considering, like you said earlier, and I was agreeing with you earlier about that generational curse. So where did we get this idea of this is what it's supposed to look like to have this type of relationship with this person? And how can we make it applicable in a realistic and healthy way? Because oftentimes it requires the person, the very person you wish you could have a relationship with, to change. And like we mentioned earlier again, that's not something that's in our control. So
it's true.
You know, it's just like, okay, well, let's make sure. Let's make sure that we're using our energy in a way that's actually helpful. What am I actually looking for? What kind of holiday would I like to have? And instead of that obligatory visit, now you have choice, and you can say, this is what it is.
Wow. So are you saying to the audience that you can actually create the kind of holiday that you want to have?
Exactly.
Realistically,
you really can.
Yeah. You have the power to design the type of holiday season you have. You don't have to be, it sounds like we're giving them permission to create that and not be obligated to go to a party that's going to trigger your emotional memories and cause you to be in conflict.
Exactly. And then I asked them, what if you do go to the party, what do you think are some things that you're going to miss? If you don't go to this party, what are some things that you feel like you're going to miss? And that, you know, speaks to the grieving process. But there's that piece of, but I have to. And so even getting to the details of, why does that person feel they have to? Sometimes there's some religious obligation or cultural obligation. And so it can get kind of sticky sometimes.
Yes, that is so true. That is so true. So before you make this decision about, you know, not following through with this obligation, I think what we're saying to the audience is weigh it out. Weigh it out. Do you feel like it's a better choice to go and have a conflict or to, you know, be miserable or bite your tongue or whatever it is that you have to do to get through it? Or is there another way to, are there other options that you might not have explored?
Right, exactly. Oftentimes, this is where that reconciling of like spirituality piece even comes up, because holidays, depending on social context, you know, are being celebrated for religious reasons. Oftentimes, more often than not, I should say. So, when the religious obligations are in place, I think there is, at least I've seen my clients feel a deeper sense of obligation. You know, if I don't show up, then it means this, or it means that I'm disrespecting to God, or disrespectful to God, or whatever ideas come up. And, you know, I think that it's really important to offer a safe space to clients in that way. But for people who might not be in a clinical space consistently, I think really evaluating what parts of your existence are yours, even. You know, I think a lot of times people are taking these superimposed ideas and just running with them, and then that creates also that family conflict, because, you know, people show up not even knowing who they are, just this sense of resentment. They're just robotically moving throughout these holidays.
Wow. So if we have guests who are really, you know, and like you said earlier, around this time, my clientele, you know, shoots through the roof, because people are experiencing a certain level of, and this is not everybody. When I speak, I'm speaking in broad generalization. We have a lot of clients who are, they find that their anxieties are so high because they're anticipating the family gathering that they feel obligated to attend, or they anticipate in seeing that one person who may have caused them significant pain or trauma, and therefore, you know, they thankfully in some cases they have the wherewithal to get some help. So what for those of you who are not, for the people who are listening who might not seek mental health help, what are some of the things that we can give them? What are some of the tools we can give them to tuck in their toolboxes to navigate this holiday season?
Permission to walk away. I think
that looks like, okay.
Because, oh, go ahead. We both got excited.
No, I'm
there.
Just saying that's powerful, because it looks like even if you have to write it down, I give myself permission to walk away.
Right. Oh my goodness. That would be helpful for so many to practice. So permission to walk away is my number one.
Mm-hmm.
If you choose to engage, be intentional about what you want to engage in. Before you even get to the setting, think about, okay, every year, uncle, whoever asked me why I don't have a partner, and it brings up all this stuff for me. You know, and think about, like, do I actually want to engage in that conversation, or will I keep it moving? Will I be able to hold that boundary? And so the second piece to me is being intentional about your limits before going in. You know your family better than anyone, and so the things that you deal with every year, maybe take a moment, write them down, and think about what things am I going to put on my non-negotiable.
Ms. Ann, I think you have a caller with a question.
Okay.
Welcome to Black of America, Healthy Relationships, 6246. You on the line? Okay, I guess not.
Okay.
I get you just one listen.
All right. So, man, those are some good things. I would even add to it, I would add, have your own ride to the gathering.
Oh, yes, yes. That's that, that's just empowering in itself. I love that.
Right? Right. Have your own ride. If you're going to go, you know how it unfolds most years, right? Have your own ride so you're not subjected or held hostage by waiting for somebody else and feel like you are held hostage in this environment. You can leave whenever you start getting the feeling that this is becoming too much, or set your limit as to how long you're going to stay there, and then you can just walk away.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that
mm-hmm.
one. That's a good one.
Yeah.
And
you go into that environment empowered, right? When you think about that ahead of time.
Yes, right. That sounds so good. Just permission to walk away, have your own ride, be intentional about your limits. And I definitely would say think about if you want to go in the first place. That might be where we start. Is it good? Do I need to attend this?
Wow. Wow. That's true. And giving yourself permission that you don't have to. You don't have to be obligated in things that's going to cause you additional stress.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is just important in and of itself. You can have a chosen family that you spend a holiday with.
That's so true. And I think another thing to do is and not be avoidant, but are there conflicts that you need to resolve before the holidays, before you show up? The setting, the Thanksgiving dinner might not be the setting for you to bring stuff up at. Can you
right.
bring that up with individuals on an individual basis? Can you do that before the dinner? Can you do that before you meet up for the Christmas party?
Right. That's not the – I think time and place play a big role in having these difficult conversations. A lot of people, might not consider Thanksgiving the best place to have a difficult conversation. And so a lot of times even thinking about containment in a way, I want to be in this space. I've looked at my limitations. I got my own ride. I gave myself permission. And so if I am triggered, where am I going to put these feelings until I can have a more receptive space to have this conversation? Giving people a place, even mentally, to put what comes up.
That's good. So you mean if I'm triggered, I don't have to go off the handle or have so-and-so told right away. I can actually tuck it and say, I'm going to table this and come back to it later?
Yes. You can say it out loud if you need to. I think it's important to really identify what is coming up for me. And let me give myself time, energy, space to work through that before it's just spewing anger. Because no one naturally is going to respond to anger with receptiveness. Most people get defensive when they feel, like there's an aggressor. So,
right. Or they feel backed in the corner, right?
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's not a good time to try to have this conversation. So so that's another one, is being able to contain, tuck it, like you said. Yeah, I think those are really good starts. And know that you can have support, You can have a friend that you call on the way, like, hey, girl, hit me up around this time and let me know. Just check in on me.
And that's actually, I call it like bookend in your visit. So it's like, okay, I'm going to call, set it up ahead of time. I'm going to call my girlfriend before I go, and I'm going to call afterwards, because I'm going to call, and that gives me a filter, and I could practice and process what it is that I'm going to do, I'm going to say, how I'm going to contain myself, and then I'm going to call afterwards to process what it is that happened.
Right, exactly. So that, like, that's a beautiful containing measure too. In trauma therapy, we talk about that all the time. So bookending, that's a great way to remind yourself of, this is temporary. I have a way out, and I have support on the front and the back end.
Yes, yes, that is so good. That is good stuff. That is good stuff. So let me pause for a second to ask, Mr. Kenny Jones, do you have any more questions for us? I don't know if he heard me or not. But, okay, so let's continue giving, empowering our audience until I hear back from Mr. Kenny Jones. But so
awesome.
I think that what we've shared, it has been really insightful, because here we are, we're saying, you know what, you don't have to stick to traditions, even though traditions are really important, and I encourage people to establish their family traditions, right? But what we're saying is, if traditions are harmful to you, if traditions are toxic, and if traditions is going to continuously lead to family conflict over the holidays, it's okay to break tradition.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Breaking tradition. So interesting. I just had a conversation on social media about how tradition is what is perpetuating toxicity. And so, you know, I reminded her that slavery was a tradition. We had to break that. And so oftentimes I think people think of conflict as a negative thing, and it doesn't have to be. Conflict is the reason why freedom it exists in and of itself. So I love that you brought up that tradition and kind of lead in the charge to change something. And when it's toxic, you know, saying, how can I prioritize me and my health right now? And sometimes that is like, I have to disengage. I have to for my own sanity, for my own peace.
Yes. That's good. So you can prioritize yourself. But what about the family system or the family members who think that by prioritizing yourself, you're being selfish? We're taught in our community not to be selfish. We need to put everybody else's feelings first.
And I tell myself this all the time. Like, I can say that I'm working on something new and it's difficult. I think communicating boundaries to family members can feel like disrespect, and you can honor that feeling and still do what you have to do. And sometimes it looks like, okay, Mom, I hear you. I know it might feel different for me to say X, Y, and Z. I appreciate your concern, but this is something I have to do for me, and I hope that you can honor me in me doing that. I hope that we can agree to disagree, things like that. It's really difficult for me to practice this new boundary setting. I'm trying to practice something different so that I can really enjoy the time with my family, and so that means that I need X. You know, things like that, to be able to have those conversations and honor that, oh, this might feel weird to you. It feels weird to me. It's all new.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow, that's good stuff. And, wow, And what about self-care around all this stuff?
Yeah.
What about self-care? Self-care is not selfish, is it?
Yes, I love those posts that you keep it real about and explain to the people that we're not encouraging manis and massages all day. I think,
that's
you know,
it's
the hard question. Self-care might be saying no.
That's it. And I think the best form of self-care and the foundational, of the core of self-care, I believe, is boundaries. Boundaries, according, again, I love Brené Brown's work. Boundaries is really about what is okay and what is not.
Yes.
What is okay and what is not. And so as we go into the holidays, I think it is important that we pause and we are mindful and intentional about the plans that we have made, the commitments that we have made, and to prioritize self-care.
Yes. That self-care piece is like the crux of all of this. If you're caring about yourself, sometimes it's gonna feel different. It's gonna feel a little odd until you get used to it, and then it becomes your default. And that's when you acting brand new becomes an actual statement. Like, absolutely, I am, and I'm okay with that.
That's it. Oh my goodness. That's key. So if you're listening, we're saying it's okay to prioritize self-care. And as you go through these holidays that's coming up, you don't have to be emotionally hooked into the drama. Conflict is not necessarily bad. It's like, do you need to have it at that event? Or can you put some containment around it? Like Anish was saying, can you put some containment around it and say, okay, I'm going to tuck this right here, make a sticky note and put it right here, and I'm going to get back to it later. I'll deal with it
Yes.
later.
Yes, you got to. You have to. So I think that if nothing else, I hope that the audience is really hearing that they have a choice in the matter, that they get to decide who they spend their time with over the holidays. They get to decide when they engage in these difficult conversations and how they engage in them. And they get to decide how long they can be there. I think that's really good points that you brought up. Taking care of yourself doesn't always feel good. Sometimes it means like, I got to get up a little bit earlier so I'm not rushing through my day. I love sleep, though. I love it. So it's sometimes it's about choosing what you need to do rather than doing what you want to do. And that's the difficult one.
That is so difficult. And understanding that, you know, when you make these declarations and when you intentionally plan to navigate this, you might be going against cultural norms, and it might not feel good. It might not feel good. You might be the first person in your family to stand up to somebody and say, no, not this time, you know.
Right.
It might not feel good. But if you prioritize, you have to prioritize. And I love what you said about think about what will you be giving up when you make these bold moves. What will you be giving up, and is that worth it for you?
I think that's a hard question for anybody to answer, especially when. So something like I thought about. and a friend of mine reminded me, was when you have a relationship with a third party, okay, so that third person might be connected with that toxicity. So disconnecting from the toxicity, that person, you might also lose another person you really care about. And so when you feel like pulled in multiple different directions and, oh, I really want a relationship with, you know, auntie this person, but I know that I can't have that because she's not going to continue to talk with me if I'm not talking to mom. And mom is toxic for me. So those types of situations where you're being pulled in two different directions, I think is also difficult. And that's when I bringing up what am I losing is so important. And holding your ground, you know, being like, you know, I'm not going to engage in this conversation, or I'm uncomfortable with this, or, you know, giving yourself permission to say no.
Wow.
It's important.
Wow. Wow, that's all good stuff. That's important stuff, and I think I think it's a great thing that we're able to share on this platform, and hopefully the audience will find some value in what we are saying. We're not discounting any family values. We're not discounting tradition. What we're saying is take care of yourself, and it doesn't have to be at the cost of your emotional wellness. It does not have to be at the that shouldn't be the cost.
I absolutely agree. And I always say, what is your peace worth? You know, what is it? If can you put a price on it? And once you've determined what your peace is worth, you can determine, is this conflict worth engaging in to lose your peace? You're always going to be negotiating between what am I losing, what am I gaining. But if you're losing your peace, make sure what you're gaining is worth more to you than that. And if you find something, let me know, because I haven't found it yet.
Right, right. Peace of mind is something else. It's nothing, you know, not even money really can replace one's peace of mind.
Right. Now, I don't know what they, nothing. I don't know what would be worth it.
Yeah. But a lot of times, you know, just admitting that a lot of times we sacrifice that for the sake of connections over the holidays. So, I mean, we're human beings and we're created for relationships. We're created for connections, and we're not discounting that. I think what we're saying is you have a choice of the connections that you make, and to prioritize your health and wellness.
Yes, if your health and wellness isn't first, then ask yourself what's in its place, and is that worth it? There's a lot of pieces of this puzzle. You know, some people will be like, there's their financial security might feel like. What is worth it, because their parents require them to come to, you know, the family, whatever, and that means that they can be supported through college or something like that. So there are moments where it can have those moving parts, and it's like, okay, well, let's look at all their options. And I think once you really start to evaluate your options, you no longer feel like you're in a corner. You might not like all your options, but you have them. And so that's what the choice is based in. And I think, you know, slowly navigating all of those different parts can help people realize, you know, your peace of mind is still can be paramount.
Wow. That is so key. So I'm going to ask Mr. Kenny Jones if he has any questions for us. Are you still with us, Mr. Jones? Okay, I'm not sure if I lost him or not.
Yeah, I swore I heard him.
Okay. Well, we are approaching the top of the hour, and we've had a really good conversation about how to navigate the navigate family conflicts during the holidays. So, Nisa, I'm just gonna ask you to just give a highlight some of the things that we've covered, and then when you're done highlighting it, tell people how they can reach you.
Yes, absolutely. I think most of our focus is on taking care of yourself. Make sure that you give yourself a moment to evaluate what are your needs during the holidays, what are your limitations, what exit strategies, if you will, do you have? You can bookend, as Ms. Diller was saying, bookend your meetings with your family by phoning a friend and letting them know, hey, I'm going to reach out to you at this time just to check in and make sure that I'm okay enough, or maybe I would like to go at this time. So most of all, have a moment to evaluate how much your peace of mind is worth to you. And if visiting your family isn't going to be contributing to that peace, maybe you can consider an alternative get together, a chosen one with people that make you feel loved and supported. So I think that's really covering
good.
It. So
yeah, that's good. I like that you said you can choose a chosen. You can have an alternative plan. You don't. We're not saying you have to be alone. We're
right.
just saying you can have. There are other options. And I love the part. Yeah, I love the part about giving yourself permission. Giving yourself permission to walk away. Give yourself permission to decide how you want to engage. That is so, so key.
No, I appreciate you so much for inviting me to this talk. I think it's so important, and it's very timely, of course. Again, I'm Anisha Cooper, healing healer and owner of Wishing Well ATL in Marietta, Georgia. I can be reached on Instagram at @BeWishingWellATL and thewishingwellatl.com, or email me at findpeace, the very thing we said and we talked about today, findpeace@thewishingwellatl.com.
Wow. Well, Anisha Cooper, you are thebomb.com. Thank you so much
for
all your work in the community. I appreciate your work in the community and helping heal trauma, you know,
yes.
in the community. That is so, so, so important. And, you know, just bringing your vivacious spirit to the therapy platform and the healing forum is so amazing. And I appreciate you and all that you do.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much for this talk, and thank you for your work. You're doing great things for the community.
Thank you. Thank you. It's just a blessing being here. And now I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Kenny Jones. All right, Mr. Kenny, you can take it away.
Hold it now.